Hello, everyone, and we welcome you to the Sunday Morning Roundtable discussion. Today is Sunday, March 22nd, 2020, and we are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America, and hallelujah. And our daffodils are blooming outside, and they look gorgeous. So thank you all for joining us today for a lively discussion, and we will begin with our morning prayer.
Okay. On page 187 of Miscellany. May the divine light of Christian Science that lighteth every enlightened thought illumine your faith and understanding, exclude all darkness or doubt, and signal the perfect path wherein to walk, the perfect principle whereby to demonstrate the perfect man and the perfect law of God. In the words of St. Paul, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And St. John says, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. May the grace and love of God be and abide with you all. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you very much. And before we go any farther, I just want to announce the subject, which is matter today, because we get diving into the lesson. So it's subject is matter, and we will start now with our watching point.
Watch number 291. Watch lest you forget that the body, or material sense, only echoes one's own belief. Matter seems to have conversational powers, but it has none. If mortal mind says, I will kill you, as a mere suggestion, that does not frighten you as much as when the body echoes this assertion and says, I will kill you. Yet the second should not frighten you any more than the first, since an echo is no more dangerous than that which produces it. Pain is only an echo, or an echo, since in reality it never is in the place where it seems to be. In the 16th edition of Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy quotes from a sermon by William Ellery Channing as follows, quote, the philosopher has often been led to question whether anything really exists in the universe beyond mind and spirit, whether matter and the body have any substantial being, whether apparently external nature be not an actual creation of our own thought, or in other words, whether in believing in an outward world, we do anything more than ascribe reality to our own conceptions, end quote.
Thank you. Comments on that?
I remember Mrs. Evans teaching, if mortal mind tells you you have purple hair, you would not believe it. So it's the same lie as if it tells you it's thick.
Yeah, Kimball has said, if he tells you you have pink feathers.
Mrs. Eddy also refers to matter as a mere shadow. These are all ways of describing what we see materially is not seeing matter do something. What we're seeing are mortal beliefs manifest. And mortal beliefs have no more power than what we give them.
Thank you very much. This truth right now is what will save the world, and we're knowing this in unity. Mankind has its back up against the wall with all this belief that matter talks, matter dictates, matter tells you what and where and why you have to fear it. It's shouting in your face, which is why we say, be silent, O flesh, before the Lord. O flesh. Are we going to let it dictate to us? Are we going to bow down that it is something real and to be feared? We have talked many times about Einstein and others who have proven the unreality of matter. Mrs. Eddy was way ahead of her time in knowing this. This is true. If you don't believe Mrs. Eddy, do you believe Einstein and other physicists, quantum physicists who are discovering this truth? We project what's in our thought, be that the carnal mind or the divine mind. And the more we know of truth, the more our body and everything else will respond to that truth. It cannot help but do so. Mrs. Eddy has said, it's also in Martha Wilcox, right thought, what does right thought do?
Will externalize itself.
Yes, must manifest itself. Now, this watching point goes along beautifully with citation, I believe it's 10 in Science and Health. When I realized what this meant, I remember I was suffering with, I forget what, flu symptoms or something, and I read this. Health is not a condition of matter, but of mind. And that's with a capital M. Not your human mind and thinking, but mind, God itself. Health is a quality of God. It has nothing to do with matter. But we're taught otherwise. This is an amazing lesson for this week. We are taught, we are bombarded with all these rules and regulations since the first moment you've appeared on Earth. All these human laws telling you you're matter, you got to fear matter. Matter is your life. This is why we start our day the minute your eyes open with God is mind. God is my mind. God is the only pure and perfect mind. God is life. God is my life. God is the only pure and perfect life. These things we are taught here, and we have been taught for a long time now. This is our defense mechanism. This is not a dress rehearsal. All these things that you've been learning here week after week after week, okay, now we're going to prove this, not just for ourselves, but for everyone. And the world is unbelieving of it. They don't believe it, but we know it because we have proven it. And we're not dismayed by the jarring testimony of the physical senses.
I think to an extent, people are beginning to believe it, though, that what you think is what you live. I was listening to a clip yesterday, and this man has arthritis, which I know by now they would say he'll be in a wheelchair and so on. But he was saying that he is determined. He didn't mention God, which I was surprised, but he, in his own mind, he's holding the fact that, no, I will never be in a wheelchair because of that. And he said even because of that, he's still functioning, you know, as well as
he can. Mm-hmm. You know, there are all these examples of it. Certainly these, you know, people wounded in wars and other things who have risen up past their what the doctors predicted for them. And if it's proven in one instant, it can be proven in any instant. Why not? Why not? And of course, we have all the examples in the Bible and the healings of Christ. And also just read Mrs. Eddy's fruitage. Read Christian Healer. All the healings she did without any medical aid. We have gotten so far from that, that everybody, including Christians, end up worshiping the doctors, the hospitals. They have the answers. So it's a good thing to have your back against the wall. And I'm not knocking. There's been many good advances in medical science, and there are many, many kind doctors. I'm not really knocking that necessarily, but I am our total faith in it. And even the fact, I read the list of what our governor said, what we can and cannot do. It didn't say anything about churches. It said we cannot gather socially. This is not social. It said we can be with close friends and family. We are close friends and family. It also said the liquor stores can stay open. So you mean we're going to shut our churches and leave the liquor stores open? I don't think so. And anyone who doesn't want to come certainly doesn't have to. But I'm not going to close the doors of our church. Not now. Why, my goodness, when this truth is needed most, we're going to reverse the secular trend that's been going on here. And I say to all these other events that are closed and canceled, well, fine, let everyone just stay home and be quiet and think and pray, which is what we all do anyway.
Yeah, pay attention to that still small voice. As in our watch last night.
Thank you, yes. And I thought,
don't be distracted. So get rid of some of the distractions. They're getting rid of it for us.
it's being taken care of for us. In the meantime, you support your local businesses because they need our support. And that watch, the sentence in the watch from Miscellany last night, those were from Elizabeth's readings a few weeks ago on contagion. And that's from January 29th. And Jeremy had it posted. Simple sentence by Mrs. Eddy. At a time of contagious disease, Christian scientists endeavor to rise in consciousness to the true sense of the omnipotence of life, truth, and love. And this great fact in Christian science, realized, will stop a contagion.
And what is the true sense of life, truth, and love? Are they in or of matter? No. They are spirit God. Life is spiritual. Truth is spiritual. Love, true love, is spiritual.
And love casteth out fear, perfect love. And perfect love is the love of God. And if you love instead of fear, that's your perfect protection. In Mrs. Eddy, on the pages 384 and 385, you know, she speaks of this love. We should relieve our minds from the depressing thought that we have transgressed a material law and must of the necessity pay the penalty. Let us reassure ourselves with the law of love. God never punishes man for doing right, for honest labor, or for deeds of kindness, though they expose him to fatigue, cold, heat, contagion. So maybe we can reevaluate ourselves when we go out. Are we going out on missions of love? And if we are, there's no penalty for it. But you need to know this and enforce it. And then she goes on. She talks about Florence Nightingale and others. We know of others. They were exposed to all kinds of things, and they never suffered consequence because they had love in their hearts. And that is a total and complete protection. But if you go out with fear and suspicion and, oh, look at that. I mean, I go out, I see these people with their gloves on and all this stuff. And I mean, God bless them all. And I just do bless them. But are we going to live our lives in fear or in love for mankind? And of course, I'm not advocating you do anything stupid.
That doesn't mean human do-goody.
No, it doesn't.
It means love as God directs.
Or some people
with wisdom.
I'm sorry. Some people try to prove their faith.
Yes.
But you can't do that. You've got to do it just from love. You're not trying to prove anything.
Thank you.
Just expressing.
Very, very, very much. They go out. What is it? Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. You do not do anything stupid, and you do not do anything that's beyond your faith. And if you're fearful, you should stay home. So you are motivated. You should be motivated by love. And if you are, that is a total 100%.
And your thought of love is powerful. You don't have to speak it. The thought does it all.
Yes. And we have found, as we have gone out, people are so hungering for this truth to be encouraged, the shopkeepers. Gary spoke again to the bagel bin people. Our dear bagel bin.
Bless their hearts. Mm-hmm. I went in this morning, and I went in last week, last Sunday, and got bagels. And they asked me, well, are you going to church? I said, of course. And then they complained that all the churches were being closed. And, you know, well, yeah. And I said, well, wait a minute. This is what we need the most. Churches should never close. And now we need them more than ever. Well, I came in today, and I was the only customer this time. And they looked at me and said, you're going to church? I said, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of them said, you know, I don't understand. How can they actually close the churches? How can they actually close, you know, the stores or the, you know, the restaurants and stuff? He says, well, and it's an attack on our nation. It's an attack on our Christianity.
People have been mesmerized.
It's exactly an attack on our freedom.
And an attack on humanity, isn't it? Really, all over, people are fearing like this.
Yeah. So they were very pleased to see my doing business, and they were pleased at the proclamation that, and I said, God heals. That's why we should go to church even more under situations like this.
Mm-hmm. This is Eddie's time. They had the stuff to handle. I found it in Watchers, Prayers, and Arguments. Things that were poisonous, and they had to turn it around in order to help the world.
Thank you very much. Craig sent me something. I didn't get a chance to look at it, but about that. And if you know Watchers, Prayers, and Arguments, she is constantly dealing with this idea of poisons. And she puts them in, instead of a material poison, she puts them in hatred, jealousy. She puts other terms for what they are. This is, if there's an enemy, this is it. It's a carnal mind. And as I said last week, which maybe some people didn't like, but I'll say it again because it's true, this atmosphere in our country and elsewhere of division, hatred, polarization, vitriolic comments to each other, this is what breeds disease. And it will, because it's godless. And all it can do is destroy itself. And that's what we're seeing. And it will destroy itself. And when we have days of national prayer, we should come together and pray and cease our criticism, which we had last Sunday. And before I go any farther on this idea, health is a condition of mind with a capital M, not matter. I mean, understanding that healed me of feeling terrible. I realized my health was safe and secure in God and in mind. It had nothing to do with my material so-called body, because my body isn't material. It's spiritual. You raise your thought up. Health is a quality of God as his reflection. Therefore, you reflect health. And if you're not, you shouldn't tolerate it. It's a belief that you're enslaved to, which the lesson brings out so beautifully, the last paragraphs. You're enslaved because you've been taught this and you accept it. And all the so-called authorities, whether it's the Materia Medica, whether it's a church, whether it's the educational systems, all of these false gods you have bowed down to. And you don't have to. Mrs. Eddy has come to free us. And Mrs. Eddy has said, and this is probably a paraphrase, you watch your thoughts, not your body. What are you taking in? What are you accepting? What do you consider to be real? Now, my question is, if God didn't make it, why do we fear it? So ask yourself, do you believe God made this? I call it nameless nothing. Do you believe God made this nameless nothing? I don't want to even give it a title. And if you believe it, that he created it, then you should fear it. And you'll suffer all your false belief consequences. But if you don't, if you know we have a good God and he didn't make it, there is no reason to fear it, except the lovely news. And my conception now of this, when I think of the media, I see the red dragon spewing fire all over. And I think I mentioned it last week, because a week ago, Suzanne told me she heard, listen to me, listen to the radio, 24/7, listen. I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you where to go. I'll tell you how to feel. I'll tell you how everyone else is feeling. If that isn't mesmerism, tell me what is. And if you're going to listen to that, the golden text, be silent, O flesh, before the Lord. Shut it off. Do not listen to it. You have to know enough to know something, obviously, but don't listen to it. It's total mesmerism. And then it's a nation of sheep. You know, if you can get people controlled by fear, you've got them. And that includes, now that includes the financial markets and everything else. You want to speak to that?
Well, yeah, what we're seeing in the financial markets last week was the worst week in the history of the financial markets for most of the financial markets in terms of drops in prices, drops in values. The worst week. And what caused it? Fear. People afraid that they're going to lose their job. They take all their money out of their money market accounts. So the money funds have to sell. All these companies afraid that they're going to lose revenue. They draw down all their bank lines of credit. They issue commercial paper. All these money funds that are selling can't buy the commercial paper. And everybody that's got cash is hoarding it because they don't know if they're going to need it or not. So you got everybody selling and nobody buying. Panic, fear, all in 1 week. And guess what? Prices just go down, down, down. But this is fear manifest.
And that's all it is. Fear. That's all it is. It has no basis. But that's why, you know, you don't listen to this. You just can't. What were you going to say, Shardy?
Oh, no, I'm listening.
Okay, well, all right. So be silent, O flesh, before the Lord. And let's see. Linda and Florence spoke on this and others.
Can I just share a beautiful story from a Long Year DVD, please?
Oh, of course.
It's the Onward and Upward Chain of Being, and it was how Joseph Armstrong came into Christian Science in the 1880s, and his wife had been healed through Christian Science, and he was a big businessman, but he so fell in love with Christian Science that he became a practitioner, so he got charged with practicing medicine without a license, and as punishment, they put him in a smallpox quarantine house and left him there for about 3 or 4 weeks, and when he healed 3 or 4 individuals with smallpox and came out and was unscathed, they finally turned him loose. So I thought that was just very appropriate.
Thank you.
Sorry for now.
Yes. Yes. And we have so many stories of God meeting our need and our supply, God being the source. And we don't want to leave that on a negative note, no, Gary, because exactly. God, we have experienced it over and over and over, God's supply. And Jeremy found this wonderful quote by Mrs. Eddy.
Yeah, it's from Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Healer, page 398. Take God good at his word and follow the teachings of my books. And I promise you that you can demonstrate what they teach. No banknote is half as sure as these promises. No business transactions can equal God's integrity and sure reward for doing rightly.
That's it. That is the answer. And she promises to promise. So we take these promises. We will not fear. Now, many of you have told me this week things you found. Some of you know Mrs. Eddy would turn to the Bible in the morning and read just what her eyes fell on and would know that that was the message for the day. Now, a few of these, I'm going to share things that I have heard. One person, Isaiah 9, number 12, And the verse actually says, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. So the interpretation of that is not to fear what others fear. God is telling us not to fear what others fear. And another that was given to me was, this is from the book of Esther, chapter 4. And who knoweth whether thou art come to this kingdom for such a time as this? All of us have been raised up for such a time as this. And I want to say how grateful and pleased I was Wednesday, because all of you getting up testifying with substance about how you're using this science with strength, it was so comforting and true, and it shows you're all using it, and you have all been raised up for a time such as this. And thank God we have people all over our nation and world, and you are lights, watchtowers for your particular area, to be knowing the truth, to going out joyfully and with confidence, knowing this is such a lie, and you're not accepting it. You were raised up for a time such as this. This church, I believe, was raised up for a time such as this. Therefore, all of you were as well.
Because you are the church.
You are the church. And thank you. And I know that you're going to stay strong and continue testifying, giving thanks. Because what do you do to break the prison walls? What was it, Paul and Silas in the prison? What did they do to break the prison walls?
They sang
hymns of praise.
And I'm so grateful our dear musicians who are just learning the science. I wrote them a letter saying, an email saying, you know, we're planning to keep our church sparkling clean and our congregation happy and healthy. But that being said, if you don't want to come, we totally would understand. And they both said, I'm coming. I'm in. And I had a very sweet exchange with Jared, who is our organist. And he comes Wednesdays, and he is really soaking up what you all are saying. It's all brand new to him. He's never probably even heard of Christian Science before. He is soaking it up. And that is why when you testify, you cannot use the Christian Science jargon. People will not, when you say, I seemingly have a belief in some disease, what the heck does that mean to anybody? Or if you say, my disease is not real, well, that doesn't mean anything to them either. Because if it's not real, then what were you healed of? Or, you know, I don't know. You have to speak in layman's terms. Otherwise, we will edit you. We have to. We are not speaking to this little inclusive little group here, to each other. We all know what you mean. But we should be speaking to the world. Make your speech plain and simple. And ask yourself, if I said this to the man on the street, would he know what I was saying? And if he doesn't, then don't say it. That's Christian Science jargon. It's not acceptable. People think we're a bunch of Looney Tunes. Okay, so. All right, so those, let's see, that were two things that came to my way about what you, now, Dale, what did you want to tell me? You found things. Dale W.
Yes, there were several verses in Psalms chapter 62. Verse 1 says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation." And verse 5 says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." And Matthew Henry's Bible commentary says regarding these two verses, quote, "Those that trust in God truly will trust in him only." And that I have kept that with me ever since I found it. It's just so precious to know the allness of God, and he's the one that we rely on. And then also chapter 62, the same chapter, verse 11, "God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." And Matthew Henry says regarding this verse, quote, "Though God spoke it but once, I heard it twice, heard it diligently, not only with my outward ears, but with my soul and mind." And I just love that, because it's not just words that we hear. We take it in. I looked up the word diligent, and the root word, diligere, means to esteem, love, characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic application and effort. And Webster's 1828 says, "Not carelessly or negligently." It is what we love. We take it in with our spiritual sense. We look to God and look to God for the mind that was in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. We see this truth with our spiritual sense. We see the allness of it. We love it. And what we love is what we experience in our life. And it goes out to the world. And I'm so grateful for the Bible verses and the Bible commentaries, makes it so clear what we need to do, and I love it.
Thank you very much. Many of you have called, or some have called, asking what you can do, and this is what you can do. You can watch and pray. And there is a chapter in Spiritual Footsteps. I believe it's chapter 23, but I'm not sure. I'm sure my researchers will find it for me. But it describes a day in Mrs. Eddy's home and the watching that goes on. Morning, again, and I bring this out, handling fear. Are you doing this every morning? And are you doing as Dale just described, with your heart, mind, and soul, knowing that God is the only power, presence, science? And Mrs. Eddy said, this done by Christian Scientists will easily handle contagion, as I read from Miscellany. So do this. You want to know what to do? Establish the allness of God in your thought till you have absolutely zero fear. Watch number one in the morning. Watch number two in the afternoon. The morning is, I think, 9 to 10, afternoon 2 to 3. Then they did an evening watch. 9, and then they got up in the middle of the night and they watched. Read that chapter on their day. And now everyone has time. You have no excuses not to do it. And this will handle this belief, this fear. And don't be concerned about what the outward physical senses are telling us right now. If we break it in our own thought, it will be broken and the results will come. But as I said, we've got this dragon thrashing around with spewing his fire at everybody. But that's okay, because we know what happened to the dragon, don't we?
And we know also what staff will not break, leaning on God.
Yes. Now, one other, Carol told me something she heard on the radio about John Tesh, who is a confusion.
He was diagnosed with cancer 6 years ago, and he was given a year and a half to live. And he said that at first he was devastated, and then his wife started looking around for things that would help. And they came across the 91st Psalm. And he said he worked with that every day. And 6 years later, the guy is still up and going, and he's got his own TV show. He's got a podcast he does. He's as busier now than he ever was. And he's fine.
Healthy, yes.
Yes,
it was
healthy
healed.
And fine, yep.
It was healed. And he said, what did he say about the 91st Psalm?
He said, if you read the 91st Psalm every day, you will never get this disease.
This nameless nothing.
Right.
Okay. I posted the 91st Psalm on my Facebook page, and I had so much gratitude coming from everybody in terms of how much that's made them, gave them hope, and they were just very grateful for it. And I also posted on my Facebook page the quote from Peter V. Ross about abiding in God and He in us. Our life cannot be less than full, free, joyous, immune from disease, out of danger, and safe from destruction. And I had a post that somebody wrote and said, I shared your post via copying to our Oak Island locals page. They're going crazy over this. Your post brings calm where it is needed. Thank you. Love and hugs.
That is beautiful, Wendy. That is what you can do. Because people are ready to hear you now.
They're ready.
Mm-hmm. They're ready.
Exactly.
Before they weren't ready, but now mm-hmm. they're ready. And all systems will fail. Sorry, guys. It's not, they're all going to fail, whether it's education. Mrs. Eddy, what does she say? Science, theology, and medicine.
Medicine.
But she also says the leaven of truth is working in those. The leaven of truth. So everywhere there seems to be this negative stuff is also God working. I remember when we did a Bible study on that, and maybe we'll find that Elizabeth posted something beautiful, a few of you did, about the leaven of truth working, what the opposite negative leaven is, but the leaven of truth. It's working. It's working right now. Only wonderful things are happening, as Dorothy Rickey said. says. All right. Anyone else who had something divinely given to them that they wanted to share? Oh, and of course, Florence last week, Daniel 9. Mm-hmm. And in dealing, our dear Anne from England, in dealing with the National Day of Prayer, she sent me the National Day of Prayer at the time of Dunkirk, which not many people know about. But they were close to defeat in the Second World War. The entire British army was trapped at Dunkirk. In desperation, George VI called for a national day of prayer to be held on the 26th of May, 1940. He said, in the national broadcast, he instructed the people of the UK to turn back to God in a spirit of repentance and plead for divine help. Of course, we know not to plead. We know it's present now. Millions of people across the British Isles flocked into churches praying for deliverance. And there's a picture of it. Just on this page. I think we're going to put it in the neck, one of our magazines. And two events immediately followed. First, a violent storm arose over Dunkirk region, grounding the Luftwaffe. Oh, I'm going to hear from Frank in my German accent, which had been killing thousands on the beaches. And then secondly, a great calm descended on the channel, the like of which hadn't been seen for a generation, which allowed hundreds of tiny boats, which, you know, as you know, Churchill ordered, to sail across and rescue 335,000 soldiers, rather than the estimated 20 to 30,000. From then on, people referred to what happened as the Miracle of Dunkirk. Sunday, June 9th, was officially appointed as the Day of National Thanksgiving. National Days of Prayer were held at critical times throughout the war. After each one, God responded with his blessing and protection. Looking back, the Bishop of Chelmsford, Dr. H. A. Wilson, wrote, if ever a great nation was on the point of supreme and final disaster, and yet was saved and reinstated, it was ourselves. It does not require an exceptional religious mind to detect in all of this the hand of God. Our next liberator is amazing. It's going to come out soon. We're working busily, but all about God and our founding fathers, Christianity and our founding fathers, all the tremendous things that were done through prayer. Anything good that's ever been done has been done through God alone. There is no other source. There is no other help but Him. And all systems will fail until we all come to that. And then in this article, he goes on saying something has gone very wrong with our countries, talking about England and how it's become so secular. And he posted this in 2015. And our next liberator will probably be the Civil War. And then maybe we'll go into World War II, because all of the things that happened to change the course of history through prayer. And we can do this right now, right today, by stopping this nameless nothing. Okay, to get back to my first, to be silent, O flesh. Linda, and then Florence, and then we'll see what Parthen said.
Well, I just was expressing gratitude for the lesson, because it clearly was meant for this time, and it was written a while ago, and it fit the last class we had last Sunday, and just be silent. And then it has so many instructions. Look up and see, and sow to the Spirit, and look to your Maker. And it's just, it was like one after another giving us instruction on what we need to do. And I just am very grateful that these lessons are written with such inspiration, and to take them very seriously.
Thank you. You know, during times of mass mesmerism, or any kind of mesmerism, as we've talked about, the Communist Manifesto said they can't mesmerize Christian Scientists. Why?
They have the mind of God.
Thank you. Thank you, Lil, because they know they have got the mind of Christ, which is why we declare it first thing in the morning. If you know that, you can't be mesmerized. And in times of mesmerism, you focus on what is true. You don't look at the mesmerists. You're crazy if you do. It's like that Medusa. Remember Medusa? If you looked into her eyes, you were turned into stone in the Greek mythology. So you focus on the enduring, the good, and the true, and you keep your focus there. And you will not be mesmerized by these lies being, as Carol said in one of the watches, it's the drumbeat. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. You can see everybody's eyes just twirling around. Focus on the truth, and you keep focused on it.
Like the book, The Ultimate Freedom, how he wrote ET on the wall to
yes,
control thought.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Control thought, CT, and the prisoners of war knew this. They were taught this. Even if you cling to the multiplication table, any truth you stay with to stay demesmerized. And as Craig was saying, to handle all these beliefs, watches, prayers, and arguments will give you wonderful comfort and ways in which to attack the beliefs of poison, secretion, all this other stuff. We have the right answer. There's always the right. There's a counterfeit of something that's true, but you stick with the truth.
Also in Linda's post, she says, she quoted, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked." I love this. God will not be mocked, and we know it.
Thank you.
Okay. One last thing. It said in Watchers, Prayers, and Arguments that the one of the things to handle was not to let man be criticized and pulled down. And that was some of the causes of some of these terrible things. If he has a terrible sense of himself and he accepts self-condemnation and criticism, and that the world's tearing down, I was thinking the world's tearing down of individuals or different lands, was not helping. It was actually causing a lot of people being vulnerable. Everybody needs to be lifted up to know their worth and their great purpose for them.
Thank you very, very much.
It's in there.
Thank you.
Much of the page.
That's good. And where is, and how do we do that? Where is our worth? Our worth is in the fact that we are the image and likeness of God. That's where our worth is. The human mind is a murderer. The human mind says you are separate from God. And that is a goddamned, and I'm not swearing, lie.
Yes. You see, this is the whole attack. It
Thank
can
you,
get
Fred.
You, that's a very good point. Absolute essential point. It gets you to believe you're not a child of God. You're subject, you're victims. And that's what this lesson keeps talking about. You're victims. So not victims. It says the verdict of this so-called material senses victimizes mortals, taught as they are by physiology and pathology to revere false testimony. Even the errors that are destroyed by truth through spiritual sense and silence and science. Revere the false testimony. We revere what the doctors say. We revere the hospitals. We run to them. They're the gods of today. We revere the big educational institutions, the financial institutions. They know it all. They do not. And so it pounds you to get you think you're a victim and you're not a child of God. And that's all this is. It's a huge propaganda program going on.
And it goes on and on and on. It just never lets up.
That's it. It
doesn't give you a chance to get any right thought in there.
That's why you shut
That's
it down.
That's why you shut it down, exactly.
So, Lauren, what did you want to say about silence?
Yeah, it was really a very beautiful, striking golden text. And I sent it to a couple of people, and they were relieved because they accepted it. They obeyed it. You're talking about revere. If we revere God, we would obey the things he's saying. And some of them are just obedience. I was saying that, you know, this is a powerful command to shut up the lying suggestions that come to tempt us. And I, you know, I commented that somebody had a good effect from just obeying it. And Jameson Fawcett Brown, his commentary on this says, "Be silent, O all flesh. Let all in silent awe and reverence await the Lord's coming interposition in behalf of his people." The address is both to the Gentile foes who prided themselves on their power as if irresistible, and to the unbelieving Jews who distrusted God's promises as incredible. Three reasons why they must be silent are implied. One, they are but flesh, weak and ignorant. Two, he is Jehovah, all wise, all powerful. Three, he is already raised up out of his place, and who can stand before him?
Thank you. So true. Silence this flesh, this talk. And Parthens too about having the eyes to see and the ears to hear and to let us always know our communication is from God to man. He says, you know, he had to speak to the multitudes differently than he would speak to his disciples. And so must we. You must be aware of your audience, who you're talking to, because some people don't get it. But they will. Never fear. They will. They'll get it. So thank you. And Shardy, don't read it all, but did you want to say something about it?
This was so helpful. And that from the lesson, you know, Science and Health 196, that we don't look to the physical structure. We don't, and we should master fear instead of cultivating it. This is so strong and so powerful in this lesson. And I really work with that. And even going out to the store and buying food, you take this with you, and you see it. It's beautiful.
Yes. And you see the hungering for the truth. So every chance you get, give it. And the lesson, it says, Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And this goes with citation 4, where it says, to those buried in the belief of sin and self, living only for pleasure or the gratification of the senses. And then he said in substance, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, lest ye should understand and be converted. And this is what this whole thing is. People who are so steeped in materialism and aren't seeing God. Well, there's going to be a turning, shaking of the feather bed, as Mrs. Eddy says. So people will be forced. They're not going to do it on their own. They'll have to be forced in some way. And that's always a good thing. And then Elizabeth, just briefly, but about not having the word of God cannot be reversed. You know, error can be reversed, but God's word can never be reversed. And we used to always end our watches, and I think we should start again with, this treatment is the word of God and cannot be reversed. How could God's word be reversed? Did you want to say anything about that? Is she here, Elizabeth?
I don't know. That just struck me because sometimes I don't say that at the end of a treatment, and I realize I need to because it just establishes it. And I don't know. That's just something that struck me this week.
Thank you very much. It's very important. Mrs. Eddy has said that, that we need to. And remember those, the last two, I guess, citations in Science and Health, the building up of our freedom. The enslaving senses must be denied and superseded. That means replaced. The law of divine mind must end human bondage. This is human bondage. Or mortals will continue unaware of man's inalienable rights, inherent, not unable to take away, incapable of being surrendered or transferred. They're given to you by God. They're your inalienable rights. Don't let anyone take that from you. And in subjection to hopeless slavery, because some public teachers permit an ignorance of divine power, an ignorance that is the foundation of continued bondage and human suffering. And Florence spoke to that too, the next one about our slavery. You want to say anything about that before we close?
Yes, I think it's important that we know all these things. We are born free. Freedom is our right. I just felt it so strongly this week, like all these laws that, you know, don't do this, don't do this. Well, citizens of the world, accept the glorious liberty of the children of God and be free.
Yes.
This is our divine right. It's our right.
We rebel against these commands of who is telling us this stuff? Who is saying this? It's not God telling us all this stuff. Then why do we listen to it? Just as Daniel and the king, he wouldn't listen. Rebel.
And the Bible says, resist the devil and what? Yeah.
So we get our fighting spirits going, and we're going to conclude. Parthen sent this. We've had it before. We've had it in The Liberator. It's a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow about the woman with the lamp, which of course we know to be Mrs. Eddy, which is on our cover of our magazine. And you think of yourself in the worst of times that you go out like the woman with the lamp, expressing joy and love and comfort, total protection from this nameless nothing, okay? Because it can't touch you when you're radiating life, truth, and love. And this is what will destroy this belief. So go ahead with this beautiful poem.
Okay, titled Santa Philomena. Whene'er a noble deed is wrought, whene'er is spoken a noble thought, our hearts in glad surprise to higher levels rise. The tidal wave of deeper souls into our inmost being rolls and lifts us unawares out of all meaner cares. Honor to those whose words or deeds thus help us in our daily needs, and by their overflow raise us from what is low. Thus thought I, as by night I read of all the great army of the dead, the trenches cold and damp, the starved and frozen camp, the wounded from the battle plain in dreary hospitals of pain, the cheerless corridors, the cold and stony floors. Lo, in that house of misery, a lady with a lamp I see pass through the glimmering of gloom and flit from room to room. And slow, as in a dream of bliss, the speechless sufferer turns to kiss her shadow as it falls upon the darkening walls, as if a door in heaven should be opened and then closed suddenly. The vision came and went, the light shone and was spent. On England's annals, through the long hereafter of her speech and song, that light its rays shall cast from portals of the past. A lady with a lamp shall stand in a great history of the land, a noble type of good, heroic womanhood. Nor even shall be wanting here the palm, the lily, and the spear, the symbols that of yore St. Philomena bore.
Thank God for Christian Science and Mrs. Eddy. And thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.